Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit. Use these words to bring the Easter joy again to our hearts and help us to be a part of the expansion of that Easter joy as it spreads through all the world. We ask your blessings and favor in your name. Amen. You may be seated. In a moment, I'm going to read the story of one of the first converts of the Christian faith from the continent of Africa, from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then I want to say a few things about the story itself, and then talk about the Easter expansion as it affects us personally in our believing, but also as it affects the way we are part of that expanding message of Easter to the world around us, as we tell the world what we, by the grace of God, have come to believe. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following is the story of an Ethiopian eunuch and an evangelist named Philip. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise, go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Philip was an evangelist and a servant of the Lord. And God told him to go from where he was preaching in Samaria, in which there were multitudes of people coming to faith, to a desert place, not the kind of place that Philip probably wanted to be, finding himself for the most part alone. But God had another plan for him, plan to meet this interesting man from Africa, the Ethiopian eunuch. This man was an emasculated male who had devoted his entire life to serving the queen of the Ethiopians as treasurer, CFO, if you will, in our modern parlance. He was a believer, though, in the God of the Bible. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. However, he was not able to worship in the fullness of the Jews, but that had now changed with Jesus' death and with his resurrection, as he would soon find out. It's interesting that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, because this prophet in particular has much to say about foreigners. Even amazingly, Isaiah has something to say about eunuchs, saying that there will be a monument for them and a better name for them even than the sons and daughters of Israel. He too was going back to Africa back to Ethiopia by way of the road that led to Gaza. Yes, that's the same Gaza that you hear about on the news from time to time, reminding us that the Bible is not a fairy tale book at all, but a historical book. And the Lord told Philip to go near to this chariot. He was reading Isaiah 53 in particular, but he didn't understand it. And so he asked for help, and Philip answered his questions and showed him how that passage, like many other passages of the Old Testament, is fulfilled by only one person, Jesus of Nazareth, who is the one who came to save the lost sheep of Israel, who by his own righteousness made many righteous. The Ethiopian believed and gives us one of the first creeds of the church, when he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is baptized, and he goes on his way rejoicing, while Philip goes on his way continuing to preach. What an amazing account of how the Easter miracle was expanding beyond Jerusalem, beyond Samaria, and even now all the way to the country or to the continent of Africa, as that Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing and himself preaching to others about Jesus. But let's think about that as it affects our lives. Kelsey is a student at the University of Kentucky. She grew up in what she describes as a non-religious home. They never went to church. They didn't own a Bible. When one of her grandfathers died, she went to church for the first time. And when she opened the funeral bulletin, the folder, she saw there the 23rd Psalm, and she remembered liking it. She didn't know, but in a few years, that would become one of her favorite passages of the Bible. Kelsey, like all of us, lived her life with happy times and sad times. But through it all, she knew there was something missing in her life. Finally, in college, she was invited to a Bible study, and she actually gave the Bible a little effort and a little opportunity, and she became familiar with that Lord, the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23, and she came to faith in him, and she realized what was missing in her life. The Ethiopian went to Africa, and in Africa, there were many people who became Christians. Several hundred years after he lived, there was a pastor in North Africa who said this, "The heart is restless until it finds its rest in God." So it is with all of us. Our lives have times of happiness and times of sorrow. Sometimes things are going well, and sometimes things are not going so well. We strive to make the best of this life. Some have even achieved greatness, rising to some status as the Ethiopian eunuch had in his life. And yet, what we realize is that all that striving for happiness is stolen from us, ultimately, by sin. And the consequences of sin, especially death, our hobbies, our degrees, our sports, our cars, our vacations, our homes, our awards, all of it eventually sifts like dust through our fingers, and we cannot hold on to it. Sin is relentless. It steals our happiness and our joy. And that is why the Easter expansion is so important. To know that when Jesus died and when he rose again, he dealt decisively with that one thing that we cannot overcome ourselves, that problem of sin, so that he would indeed be the good shepherd, as Pastor Miller told us last week, who leads us through the valley of death and brings us into the presence of God himself. Easter expansion, it has all affected us. We have all been blessed by a Philip of some sort who came to tell us about Jesus. But let's also think about the Easter expansion and our role in being Philips ourselves. Twice, the Lord told Philip to go, to go to that road leading to Gaza, first of all, a desolate place, Luke tells us. And that must have sounded crazy to Philip. After all, he had been preaching to multitudes, and many were coming to faith. Why would God send him to a place where there was virtually no one? And then of all people, the strangest of all cultures to him, an Ethiopian eunuch of all people coming along in the chariot. Never underestimate what God is telling you to do by the circumstances of your life. God indeed wants the multitudes to hear the gospel, and he wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But God also cares about every person individually. And it might well be that the craziness of your life is happening because God wants to put you in a special place to meet a special person, to tell that person about Jesus, so that the Easter miracle might come to their hearts as well. Now, the second time that the Lord told Philip to go, he said it this way: go near to the chariot. That is to say, Philip wasn't just supposed to stand on the road with a placard that said, repent or die, but this would be personal, that he was to get to know this man, this Ethiopian, who was such a foreigner and such a different person from him. The Lord told him, go near. That sometimes is hard for some of us. Myself in particular, I find it not always easy to go to people that are strange to me. But God tells us this is what we are called to do. This is what it means, as John says, to love one another. And that can be done when we look to God to help us overcome whatever obstacles there might be that would prevent us from knowing someone personally and stepping into the chariot with them, sitting down with them, and helping them to know Jesus better. A lot of people are good at that, though, and that reminds me of something else that Philip did. He not only went near to the Ethiopian, but this Ethiopian had a very particular question from the Bible, from a very difficult book of the Bible, and from a very important chapter of that book, chapter 53. And he answered the question beautifully, which showed that Philip was well studied in God's word. And we are too called to fulfill what Philip did. Philip opened his mouth and he began with this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Can you do that? Can you preach Jesus to people? It doesn't mean you're a pastor. But all those people, those first Christians who were in Jerusalem and being scattered because of the persecution, Luke tells us that they went their different ways preaching Jesus. That reminds us that the Easter expansion is not just about being personal, and it's not just about social activities, but it's always ultimately about sharing the words of truth and life in Jesus. That can be a challenge for us as well. But God makes it possible for us through regular worship and Bible study and devotional study and personal prayer to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, so that when an Ethiopian of some sort comes into our life with a difficult question, we can answer that question and point him to Jesus. We can go near and we can also preach Jesus. I mentioned this several sermons ago, but a webpage that I've been working on our website, Learning to Read the Bible, I would encourage you to go there. There's something there for everyone, whatever your understanding of God's Word might be, to help you grow deeper and stronger in the Word of the Lord. I want to conclude by mentioning something that I became aware of this week, sadly. Our publishing house, Concordia Publishing House, was notified that they would not be allowed to advertise some of their resources on some of the largest internet companies in the world. Why? Because these companies didn't like, of all things, their ads about Vacation Bible School, and particularly about a part of Vacation Bible School called the Bible Challenge. It's amazing that so many people can work so hard to make sure people don't know about Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it's no wonder there are people like Kelsey who don't know at all about Jesus. But it's good for us to remember there's something bigger, stronger, and better than the internet itself and anything else in this world, whatever institution it might be, and that is the Church of Jesus. Those who have been called, like Philip, like the Ethiopian. Jesus could not be stopped in his resurrection, nor can the world stop the Philips or the Ethiopians in their preaching and in their rejoicing. We give thanks for the Philips who have come to us and helped us to believe and be baptized. And we also ask God to help us be Philips to the people around us, to draw near, to open the Bible, to share the words of truth and life in Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Lord Jesus, save us and help us to keep your commandments, that you might use us to save others. Amen.